Now let's continue on, and this will be entitled, What Are the Two Great Passovers of the Bible? There are two. I'll let you think on for a minute. What do you think it is? Passover of Josiah? The Passover of Hezekiah? The Passover of Egypt when the firstborn were killed, man and beast? No, that was not. That was the first great Passover for the children of Israel. But that was not the first great Passover by God and God alone. So there was one man involved, and he acted as what later became the high priest. And that man was Abraham, whose name when he was called was Abram. So let's come here to Genesis 12. And let's see. Now, as you're turning there, think about this. Why did Paul write in Romans, the fourth chapter in particularly, and other places secondarily? About Abraham. And why did he do it in two chapters of the book of Galatians? Okay. And what did he refer to? He referred to Abraham and then the first great Passover by God. It wasn't called the Passover at that time. But let's begin with the calling of Abraham, who was Abram, and he had to get out of Babylon. Now, what does it say in Revelation 18 about Babylon and the people of God? Come out of her, my people, right? You have to come out of the world spiritually. So it's the same thing here. Get out of your country and from your kingdom and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew 13? You're to love God more, said it in Matthew 10 as well, more than what? Father, mother, brother, sister, lands, and everything. Same requirement, right? Now, Abraham was quite a wealthy man, quite an accomplished man, and his old entourage with all of his servants and everything with him was around 200 people. And when he traveled, he had this great tent and so forth, okay? So I told him, you get out. And verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. Okay, now Abraham in the kingdom is going to have a great place, right? He didn't know that. He didn't tell him it would be in the kingdom of God 5,000 years later. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the Jews turn there and say, that's us. Then why have you been killed all day long? Are the Jews in the Middle East a blessing to all nations today? No. their fate was sealed, as I've said many times, when they free refused Jesus Christ. Now, not all Jews did. A lot in the time of the apostles accepted him, repented, and they were baptized. And for the first 12 years, all the converts were Jews. Until Cornelius, uncircumcised. Okay? Ooh, for the Jews, that was a nasty, nasty thing to not be circumcised. Well, Abraham wasn't circumcised here. Now, what are you going to do with that, Jews? Okay? And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, what does all mean? Everyone. And as we know with the plan of God, that means past, present, and future. Think of that. Then Abraham departed, even as the Lord spoke to him, and so forth. And so he obeyed God. Okay. Now, Abraham had his faults. But let's see chapter 15. Chapter 15 is actually the proto or first Passover. And we will see that it contains with it two aspects. One, physical seed, and that came through Isaac. Two, spiritual seed. Okay? Let's read it. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, since I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" See, if you had no children, then you could select a leading slave. That was legal. Okay. So that's what he brought up. Now remember, when this took place, he was 85 years old. Okay? And Abram said, verse 3, "Behold, you have given me no seed to me, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir.'" Now, that did not take place until 15 years later. See? Now, first lesson we have here is your own ideas are not God's, even though they may appear to be good or, in fact, even legal. So the first blessing is what? Physical seed by impregnating his wife, and she delivered at 90 years old Isaac. So God showed through that he does things that are impossible. See? So we shouldn't limit God. After all, he's created the heavens and the earth, right? Is there any limitation to that? No. Have they even found the ends and the bounds of space? No. Okay. So verse 5, and he brought him outside and said, okay, object lesson to Abram. Now, there was no smog. It was nice and dark. And he told him, "Look to the stars in the heavens above." Okay? and number the stars if you are able to count them. Well, think of it today, even with the best telescope, they can't even count them. They know there are what? Billions, if not trillions, of what you would call stars. So stop and think of that for a minute. How great is God? How fantastic is He? And we'll see as we go along how important that is for us and our growth as Christians and how we live our lives. See? That's an amazing thing. Okay? And He said to him, so shall your seed be. Now that is physical and spiritual. What did Paul say about those who were baptized? And if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and according to promise, where there is neither Jew or Gentile, male or female, free or bond, you are all one in Christ. That's quite a statement, isn't it, see? And that ties right in with this, okay? Now, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord. That means he believed what he said. What is the first thing we are to do as Christians? Believe God. Believe Christ. We don't come to Christ and say, well, I read this in there, and I'm a good Christian, but all these people out there keep all of these wonderful days, and they are happy and do wonderful things in Halloween and Christmas and Easter and all of these things. And isn't it a wonderful thing that the Pope has blessed them, and now they're Christian? Oh, hooray! Okay. How about the Church of the Sodomites? They think God has blessed them. But who is their God? Satan the devil. Does he want them to feel good? Yes. Does he want them to be staunch in their rebellion? Yes. And they don't know it. But that's the path to death. Okay? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believing God is more important than anything else, because all of your actions that you do come from how you think. And so if you believe and believe God and have His Spirit and you are led by the Spirit of God, that's the most important thing in life. And that's what the coming Passover is all about, as we will see. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. When is he going to inherit it? Yeah, at the kingdom of God. 5,000 years down the road. But God didn't say, Abraham, that's going to be in 5,000 years. See? And he said, Lord God, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it? Okay. Now here's where Abram acts as a high priest. Okay. He assists in doing it. Human effort to do this. We'll see that applies to the next great Passover. It says, take a heifer 3 years old and a goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And he took all these to himself, divided them down the middle from head to the end of the body. Spread them out, because this was a special sacrifice. This is what is called a maledictory oath sacrifice. Now, put in your notes Jeremiah 34. That's when the children of Israel believed Jeremiah a little bit, and so they decided that they would free their slaves, and they did a covenant sacrifice, which this is, a maledictory sacrifice, which is this. If you go through those, you are pledging that if you don't do what you say, you die. And you'll see that's what happened to the Jews at that time in Jerusalem, because they didn't do what they said. Okay, now let's continue on. Verse 10. And he took all of these to himself and divided them in the middle and laid each piece opposite the other, made a path between them. Okay. Now all the blood, guts, and gores all laying on the ground. No altar to sprinkle anything on. It's just the ground. But he did not divide the birds. And when the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Okay? Now then, look at the setting. We want to go back to the first of the chapter. He came to him when? At night. Because he said, look at the stars. Do you see stars in the daytime? No. Okay? So that's day one. Okay? Now then, look what happened. In the morning, how long it took to get all those sacrifices together? We don't know. Okay? And it came to pass when the sun was going down. Now, we don't know exactly how far down it was. We're not told. But it wasn't quite ready to set. Okay? Now, could it be, and we'll jump ahead to the sacrifice of Christ, when did he die? Ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, could this be about the same time? Could be. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon him. Okay? And behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Almost like death. That was a phenomenal thing for him to go through. See? I don't think any of us have been in that kind of deep subconsciousness. And he said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and afflict them 400 years. Okay? Now, we got a chart that shows the whole thing. That's a difficult scripture. We won't explain it here. Verse 14, and I also will judge that nation whom they shall serve. All right, keep that in mind. I will judge that nation. And afterward, they shall come out with great abundance. You shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, verse 17. And it came to pass, when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. A covenant. Now remember, a covenant requires the sacrifice first. And that sacrifice is maledictory and cannot be broken. And the only thing that will change it is death. Keep that in mind. And it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the parts. Now, what happened then? You've got these three animals, all the blood, guts, and gore, everything there, and the two birds, turtle dove and a pigeon. Smoking furnace. Now, what would a smoking furnace do to that? Burn them all up. So there would be nothing but left but ashes. Okay? That's what happened. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I've given this land to your seed, and from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Kenites, the land of the Kenizzites, the land of Cadmonianites, the land of the Hittites, the Perizzites, and so forth, all of them. Okay. Now, that covenant was the first great Passover. Now, how do we know that that was on the Passover? We know that from Genesis, the 12th chapter. Because God told the children of Israel, now this is secondary, so we're not going to get into it in detail. I'll cover that in a message a little bit later. Okay? But it says about the night to be much observed, that in that very night, 430 years later, the children of Israel began to leave Egypt. Okay? That very night was the night it's talking about here. So that means that the sacrifice took place on what became the Passover day. So the Passover is the covenant day of God. And that's how God began his covenant with the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. And there was a sacrifice, right? They had the sacrifice of the lamb so they could take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel above the doorpost, and that the destroyer wouldn't come and destroy their firstborn of male and animal. Okay? But killed all of those of Egypt after all of the other plagues. So there was that sacrifice on the Passover day. Okay. We'll see that carried through a little bit later. All right. Now, then there's something else that took place, which was an additional verification that what God told him and the experience of the sacrifice of Genesis 15 was sure. That's when there was another thing that Abraham did, to take his one and only son Isaac, who was apparently about 15 at that time, and take and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of Moriah. So Abraham did. And you know the whole account there. That after they arrived for the mountain, he took Isaac, put the wood on him. He had a pan with fire in it. And they went up to the mountain wherever it was that God said to offer him. And Abraham made an altar to God, taking 12 stones. Then he bound up Isaac, laid him on there, ready for the sacrifice. All the wood that Isaac had brought up and carried on his back was now underneath him for the burnt offering. And Abraham reached down to take his knife, and he had it in his hand to then sacrifice him. And then the voice came from heaven. An angel spoke. Verse 11, Genesis 22. So let's go there. Let's see how important that this is. This was an added verification of the sacrifice and also a prophecy of Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn of Mary. Isaac was the firstborn of Sarah. You see the parallel? In your seed shall all the nations be blessed, physically. And in your seed shall all nations be blessed spiritually, because you have done this. So here it is verified. And the angel called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Okay. How much does God require of us? Okay. What do we take as a covenant vow to God? Baptism. And what is that? That is a symbolic death, showing that when you come out of that watery grave and receive the Spirit of God, that you will overcome the sin within and the sin without. Okay? And that God will give you the power of His Spirit to overcome the law of sin and death that works within every human being. And that power can only come from God. Okay? Only God can do that. Just like right here. Only God could spare Abraham's son. Because he had to have offspring to fulfill his promise to Abraham. But this was a type then of the coming sacrifice of Jesus. Now notice what he said. Verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was entangled in a thicket by its horns. Now I've often wondered, how did that get there? Did it just wander there? Did God just make it go there? Or did God create it and put it there? Have no idea. But it may be that God did create it and put it there for that special sacrifice, because that would become the type of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go forth. Now, verse 15, And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself. Now think of this. The one who has made the heavens and the earth and everything that there is, if he's going to give a promise, His word is always sure, because God cannot lie. But how does He verify the fact that He Himself is going to do it as He has said? He swears by Himself. God, who is eternal, who is love, who is almighty, who has all power, swore to Abraham on his own existence, which is greater than the existence of heaven and earth. Isn't it? Yes, indeed. Okay. So you see how important this is. So this is, I don't know if this was done on the Passover day or not. We're not told. But it could be very likely that it did happen that way. All right? Now here's what he said. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. That's what God the Father did. That in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed like the stars of the heavens and the sand which is upon the seashore. Two things. Stars, equals spiritual seed. Sand equals physical seed. Okay? So that's what we have going back to Genesis 12 and 15, right? Okay. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Now, there it is. You've heard me say this how many times? Those three words, obey my voice. See? And everything that God wants us to obey has been written down. And he has inspired it to be written down so that we know, so that no one at any time can ever say, God, I never heard you. You never spoke to me. His answer will be, did you have a Bible in your house? Oh, yeah, we got a couple of them. Did you ever read them? Oh, I looked at them. Did you ever believe them? Oh, I can't say that I did. But I sent it to you so you would know. That's how important you were to me. You had a Bible, but you need to respond to me. See? So there we have it. Now, look at how this blessing come to Genesis 26:5, then we'll get to the New Testament, okay? And here's the blessing that he gave to Isaac, verse 2, Genesis 26. And the Lord appeared to him, that is Isaac, do not go down into Egypt and live in the land, but live in the land which I shall tell you of. Two things. We're not to go back into this world, right? Egypt, Sodom, okay? And we are to dwell in the land which God tells us of. What is that land? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, see? That's why we are called strangers and sojourners on the earth. Because we don't fit into the world. We don't go back to Egypt. So he says, stay in the land, I will be with you and bless you, and to you and your seed I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, a physical seed, and I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And in chapter 4 of the book of Galatians, Paul makes the comparison between the church and Isaac for spiritual seed. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because, see, here it is. Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So all of you ignoramus out there who believe there was no law until the giving of the commandments to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai are liars. And you're all of your father, the devil. Oh, but you're such a nice person. Well, Satan can be sweet and nice whenever he desires to be. And he can give you benefits if he wants to. All right? Now let's come to the second great Passover, which is the Passover of Christ. Okay? And it took 24 hours. Mark 14. Because there are always some of those who say, and even some practiced it, and we did it for years, did we not? We took the Passover in the evening, and then the next day we had our last hamburger at McDonald's. Because we assumed that the Passover day was not an unleavened bread day? How can it not be an unleavened bread day when the sacrifice of Christ, the greatest Passover of all, took place on that day, and his sacrifice, what? Is for the sins of the whole world. To say that's not an unleavened bread day is not scriptural. Now remember this. In order to know truth, in many cases it takes one scripture. Just one. So let's read it. Mark 12 and verse 14. Now the world doesn't understand this because they don't understand the Sabbath and the Passover and holy days of God. Okay? And that's why I want to cover this and emphasize this, that this is the greatest Passover. The first one was with Abraham, Genesis 15, then verified by Genesis 22. Then we have the great Passover of God, the sacrifice of his firstborn son. And we know that he was God before he became flesh. And he alone kept this Passover day from sunset to sunset. All 24 hours. Okay? So let's read verse 12. A lot of people will say, well, that's only one verse. That's all it takes. Someone asked me the question here recently, can you prove that John of Revelation was the apostle? Well, some scholar thought that up so he could do away with things in it he didn't like. Do you suppose that Christ would have given it to another John who was not his personal disciple, whom he loved more than the other 11? And whom he said to Peter, who was political, and said, what's going to happen to him, Lord? And he said, what's that to you? If I desire that he remain until I come, you go do what I said. And John did see it. You think he would give it to any other John that would come into the church later on? Or that would come from a pagan church? See, that's how scholars think. They never repent of the carnality and the superiority of what they think their brains are to come to the knowledge of God. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, as Lyle said, call the foolish, the weak. That's us. Why? Because we will believe and we will obey. That's why. That's what it's all about. What did it say back there in Genesis 26:5? Because Abraham obeyed my voice. Okay? Let's read it. And on the first day of the unleavens. Now, people read that and they think that's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then they come up with the argument, well, there are only 7 days of unleavened bread. That's true for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But we have to answer the next question, which tells us that this is a separate day of unleavened bread, which was the first of the year. Let's read it. When they were killing the Passover lambs. Now, let me tell you something. In the Greek, that is present tense active, meaning when they asked the question, where will we prepare the Passover? Okay. It was on the first day of the unleavens, and they were killing the Passover lambs. Now, are not the Passover lambs to be eaten on the Passover day? Yes. So this cannot be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread because the Passover was just beginning. And the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was 3 days later. But none of the scholars can figure it out. When they were killing the Passover lambs, I remember when I first really understood that, and the Greek really was present tense, happening right while they were speaking. I don't know if it one of those occasions I was reading in bed, but there were several occasions I was reading and studying in bed, and I popped up out of bed so excited that this answered the question that the church argued about over and over and over again, which ended up being a whole lot of nonsense by men who do not know how to put the Word of God together. Okay? So this is the second great Passover of the Bible. And it is the greatest. The death of God manifested in the flesh, whose blood, as Lyell brought out, is the blood that forgives the sin of the world. Okay? And it started that night. So I'll just summarize and pick it up here next week. What did it start out with when after they found the place and the lamb was killed and it was ready to go and Jesus arrived? Okay. Started out with foot washing. Amazing thing, huh? And that signifies what? You'll always walk in the way of God. Okay? And then they ate of the broken unleavened bread. When he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And it was beaten and slashed and disfigured during that night. That was part of keeping the Passover for Christ. Giving the instruction, first of all, to the apostles, and then going out and praying for 3 hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he knew the agony and everything that was going to take place. Okay? And then he was crucified. Spit upon, mocked, and died at the 9th hour, and put into the tomb as the Passover day ended. So from sunset, 24 hours to sunset, Jesus kept the greatest Passover ever in the whole history of the universe. And this is why the Passover is so important for us.